So if we're going to talk about the law and grace, the law, what is the law? It's the Word of God. Let's start off simple, right? The law is the Word of God. What about grace? Carrie, you started to raise your hand. You were going to say something. Was that concerning law?
Yes, I was going to say the commandments.
The commandments. That's true. And we could write a bunch of stuff up there. What about grace? Grace is the Word of God. Grace is the Word of God. So, if the law is the Word of God and grace is the Word of God, what is the difference between the two? Or is there a difference? We got people raising their hands. I'll go ahead and we'll do that. Let's interact a little bit. Merle? Grab that microphone real quick. Thank you.
The Word of God is the law interpreted, but the interpretation of the true.
Are you saying
law.
Grace?
Yes, grace. Okay. Yes.
Good. I like that. Grace is the Word of God interpreted. Now, I'm going to say something to back up what Merle said there. In the 17th verse of what we read, it said, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Is that saying that truth, the law wasn't truth? How? Huh? Why does it say that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, Julie? It says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Why does it say that like that? I'm going to make a statement to you, and you may not believe me, but I've experienced it in the Spirit, and I know it to be true by the Holy Ghost. But every single one of us in this room here today, if you were not walking in grace, you would have a different interpretation of the Bible. At one point or another, you could say, well, I talk to people and they agree with what I say. Talk to them long enough. So you talked about one or two scriptures. Talk about the whole Bible, and I promise you, God is my witness, at somewhere in some point, you're going to disagree. I saw it in the Spirit. And it's 100% true. So you could think we're in total agreement, but I promise you it's not the case. The reason that the Bible says that the law came by Moses and grace and truth by Jesus Christ, because as Merle alluded to, grace is the interpretation of the law. The law, to some people, is like we said, just do's and don'ts. And people will interpret the do's and don'ts differently. For example, I knew a pastor that traveled the country as an evangelist before he pastored. And he'd go to one place, and they would say, you can't drink coffee because it has caffeine in it, and caffeine is harmful to the body, right? Doesn't the scripture say not to destroy the temple of God? Yeah? Not, which is your body? And then the same place that said not to drink coffee said it was okay to drink wine with alcohol because that's how we have communion. Then you go to the next spot to evangelize, and that spot says it's not okay to drink alcohol. And they'll use scripture to tell you you have to use grape juice when you take communion, but coffee's just fine. So, different interpretations. Do you realize our judicial system, that some of it is actually based on scripture? You know that? How many jurors do we have? Why? That's the council, the 12 apostles, the 12 tribes of Israel, right? Unless you do a bench trial, which I never recommend, to let one man decide your fate. There's a young man that's in prison right now. He was given a life sentence because his lawyer, I communicate with him often, talked to him yesterday, I believe. But his lawyer paid a ton of money to get this lawyer. He says, I know what's going to happen here. We don't want to have a jury trial. We want to have a bench trial. And this judge is going to rule in our favor. Well, guess what? I don't know what happened the night before. Judge wasn't happy. He told the young man, I'm going to make an example of you. He gave him a life sentence. 25 years to life. He was given an opportunity to take a plea bargain. And if he would have took the plea bargain, he'd be out right now. So, God forbid any of you have to be in this situation, but here's just a little simple physical advice. Always let yourself be judged of your peers. Don't put your fate in the hands of one man that may have had a bad night the night before. Right? Now, the law, even our judicial system, is subject to interpretation. Do you realize that? That's why we have a superior court. That's why you have different levels of court, because different judges interpret the law differently. Have anybody ever experienced these things? I have. And you can see where one court will say okay and then or no. They take it to the next one. They get it to the, what's the highest court? The Supreme Court. The Supreme Court will rule another way. In other words, that interpretation overrides the interpretation of the lower court. The same thing with the Word of God. People do the exact same thing. They interpret it according to their ability or their thoughts. Now, grace is different. Grace is God interpreting the Bible for you. Grace is God giving you the understanding. Grace is God showing you why he created a law of what we call do's and don'ts, so you can understand God's mind and purpose. We've been talking a lot about purpose, haven't we? Now, God has purpose for the law and grace. 1 Timothy 1 and 8 says that the law, and we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. So what does that mean? We've talked about this before. What does it mean to use the law lawfully? Julie?
It's using grace, like you were just saying, the interpretation, the true interpretation of the law.
That would be grace.
Right.
But what does he mean by if we use the law lawfully? Because I'm gonna answer this for you here today. There's great purpose for the law. There's a great purpose for grace also. Okay? Anybody else? Tristan's got his hand up. And Walker, you can say it too.
I'd say to use the law lawfully would be to bring you to grace.
To bring you to grace.
And to the truth.
And that is true. The law is a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. But then it says once you come to Christ, you're no longer under the law. Correct? Walker, you had something you want to say?
I was going to say my thoughts on it were you use it the way it was intended, like to take you to Christ instead of the Pharisees where they used it to condemn and puff themselves up.
And that's good. So some people use the law to create their own righteousness. I believe it's Romans, the 10th chapter. Paul talks about that they went about to establish their own righteousness, Israel did. But there's even more to what you guys are saying. Besides just bringing you to Christ, there's a performance of the law. Now, for a lot of people, and this has been taught like this before, there's two different laws. Is there? Is there the law of life that's in Christ Jesus? Matter of fact, Psalms 19 and 7 says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. But then in Paul's writings, he said that no man shall be justified by the works of the law. Now, that's very specific. I mean, that's very specific what he said. He said by the works of the law. Okay, so if you're trying to work the works of the law, you're not going to be justified. There is a great purpose for the law. Let's go a little farther here. Anybody else? The law. It's the Word of God. Grace is the Word of God. What are both of these? Walker said a mindset. Remember we talked about sin, what sin is? It's perception. The law and grace is a perception. It's how you look at, how you perceive your mindset of the Word of God. Does that make sense to you? You can get the law by reading the Bible. Can you not? Matter of fact, let's do that. Who knows the Ten Commandments? You know of them, huh? Is there anybody in this room that could come up right here with this microphone and recite all Ten Commandments right now? No takers. Let's do it this way. Exodus, the 20th chapter. I bet you guys, everyone in this room could get one or two of them, though, huh? The Bible does say that the law, no man is justified by the works of the law, because why? The law was weak through the flesh. Why would it say that? If you're looking at the Word of God through flesh, you have a different interpretation than what God has, correct? So Exodus 20, I believe it's verse 3. No, it's actually, let's go ahead and read in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Here's number one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Number three, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Is this four? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I'll give you a perfect example. How many of you in the beginning, when you heard the Ten Commandments for the first time, when or were taught that taking the Lord's name in vain is cussing? Using God's name in a curse word. Do you still think that today? Oh, so you guys have a different interpretation. Is your interpretation based on your flesh or by the Spirit of God? Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Is this the one you use when the kids are disrespectful? My mom interpreted this just a little bit different. She said, I brought you into this world. I can take you out, boy. That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now here's some of the easiest ones that people will remember. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Verse 17 and number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor thy manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 10 commandments. Are these do's and don'ts? No. You guys shaking your head there. These are all don'ts. Didn't every single one start off with thou shalt not? So there's no do's in this, there's don'ts. Okay, there you go. Do that. Don't work. It's a don't. Where's the do's? See, because a lot of times when you talk about the commandment or the law, this is what people think. Especially somebody that hasn't been in church a lot, hasn't really studied the Bible. You say law, Julie, they go straight to the Ten Commandments. Are there more commandments than these ten? Where do you start reading them at, Walker? Deuteronomy?
Right afterwards, more.
Go ahead, Carrie.
I was thinking Galatians 5, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. I'm just thinking about love, but anyway, love the Lord thy God.
Okay. actually, Walker, you said Deuteronomy. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So it's Exodus. There's 40 more after this. Exodus, you start with the law. You go into Deuteronomy. At one point, remember, Walker, you were studying the Bible. Walker's been very fervent to study the Bible. And he said, God gave two laws. And I'm thinking, well, maybe the law of life that's in Christ Jesus, and then the law that no man's justified under. And Walker said, no, there's two different laws. And what it was the law was given a second time in the wilderness to the generation that hadn't heard the law before. Right, Walker? So we straightened that one out quick, but we did that because of communication. You want to communicate about the Word of God. Make sure your thoughts stay straight. So what's some of the do's? If these are all don'ts, what is the do? Walker?
Thou love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
That's a do. Yep. And that goes right along with the very first one. It's the do part of the don't. I think it's, is it Matthew 24, 25? A lawyer comes to tempt Jesus, said, what is the great commandment in the law? Wanted to see if they could snare him, tempting him. Well, this is interesting. What were they tempting him with? The law, the Word of God. What were they looking to find from him when they asked him? What does the commandment say? His interpretation. Now, interesting enough, John 1 and 1, can you quote that scripture? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? So the Word and God are the same. Now remember, he's coming to tempt Jesus to find his interpretation, like they always did, Julie, to catch him in his speech. Pharisees, Sadducees, chief priests, all of them coming to catch him, but they're trying to look at his interpretation, Bryce, of the law. Now, interesting enough, Jesus is the law. You realize that? Jesus is the grace. He is the Word of God. Again, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 of that same chapter says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Doesn't it? And we beheld his glory, and that as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, they're putting that truth with grace again. Why does truth come with grace? Because of so many different interpretations in law. Because man interprets the Word of God differently, every single one of us at some point or another. But the awesome part about the unity of God and the unity of the Spirit, if God interprets it for you, if God gives you the understanding, it's always the same. That's grace, Julie. That's the grace of God. You didn't get it from your thoughts. You didn't get it from man. You didn't get it from your mother, your father, your Sunday school teacher. The Spirit of God specifically gave you that understanding. You know, in 1 John 2 and 27, actually 26, John said, these things have we spoken unto you concerning them that would seduce you, or that are going to try to seduce you. He said, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Now, I've quoted this scripture before and watched people read it, and they're like, see there? Ain't no man teaching me anything. I don't need a man in my life. I don't need a man. I don't need a pastor. I've heard him say these things, Merle. I don't need an overseer. Well, what about Ephesians 4, where God gave gifts unto men, the fivefold ministry, the, what is it? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. What, did God just nullify that? What do you mean? Well, you got to read the whole scripture. 1 John 2 and 27 says, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth, so the anointing is the grace of God, is truth and is no lie, so shall you abide in him. Have you ever looked at it like this, Bryce? What does it mean to abide in him? That's to be in grace. Daryl, that's to be in his interpretation. Interesting, isn't it? So they come to Jesus to tempt him, ask him, what's the great commandment in the law? And what does Jesus tell them? What Walker said. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength is the first and great commandment. What did he say the second? The second is like unto it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Correct? You know what else it says in there? All the law and the prophets hinge on these two commandments. So what is the understanding of law now? It's love. The law was not given, now I'm going to be careful how I say this, to condemn you. But what we are going to read, the law was given so you would be found guilty. Now I'll have to clarify that for you, because when we're talking about the difference between law and the Word of God and grace, they actually, the perception comes together to be one. I'll say it now, we'll talk more about it. But Walker, find me the scripture that the whole world would be found guilty before him. So by the, you know, there's a lot of scripture about the law, isn't there? By the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law teaches you, reveals when you're in sin. Now, I've said and I have written on the board here that the law and grace is a perception. So when you first hear the law, the true work of the law is that you'll be found guilty. Right? So what's the work of grace? Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So listen to this. This is so cool, but it's so simple. I think it's very profound. The law finds you guilty. Grace saves you. Do you hear that? And you have to have both. Well, what do you mean? Why do I have to be found guilty? It's simple. Sean, so you can be pardoned. Think about what I'm saying here. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, correct? That's what the Bible says. I taught on Thursday night about Elijah's sin. How many was on that call? I still want you guys, anybody on that call, to give me a call and answer the questions that I asked you. Because I had a couple people call me afterwards, and they didn't know the answers. Even though I taught it and expounded on it greatly, they didn't know the answer to what was Elijah's sin. What was said in the still small voice? You guys ever read that? There was wind, there was an earthquake, all those things. What was the other one? Wind? Fire, thank you. And the Bible says that God wasn't in the wind, the earthquake, or the fire, but a still small voice talked to Elijah. But the Bible doesn't clarify what was said by that still small voice. You would have to get in the Spirit, be in the Spirit, hear what was said to know what was spoken to Elijah, wouldn't you? Well, I did. I experienced that, and I got the answer. So if you'd like to talk about that, give me a call sometime, okay? Now, what were we talking about? I do. Walker, let's read. What? Tell them where it is and everything.
This is Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may become stopped, and all the world may become guilty before
Did
God.
Did you hear that? This is the purpose of the law. That all the world, what does it say?
May become guilty
before him. How many of you heard about a case sometime back where a woman was in prison? She had a hefty, hefty prison sentence for selling marijuana. I don't mean a joint. I'm not talking about an eighth or an ounce. I'm talking about lots of marijuana. Kim Kardashian solicited our president, Donald Trump, to help this woman. You guys know which one I'm talking about now? She had spent a long time in jail, years, 8, 7, 8, 9 years or whatever. And sure enough, with her encouragement, our president pardoned her. Wouldn't that be powerful? I mean, wouldn't that be awesome to have enough power? Let me say this again. Wouldn't that be awesome to have enough power to pardon somebody from a prison sentence, a life sentence? It would change a whole entire life, wouldn't you? He's got that kind of power in this physical realm. That's not the only one he's pardoned, but he did pardon her. She got out of prison. She's living a new life again now, hopefully not selling any marijuana or cocaine or heroin or anything else. Hopefully she's got a new beginning and a new start, right? But she was found guilty. So her crime, what she did, was under the law, punishable with a prison sentence. But this is a good example of law and grace, isn't it? Because even in this physical realm, our president showed grace and mercy and let her out of prison. He pardoned her. Now, here's where everybody gets tripped up. You have to have the law. You have to be found guilty. But if you only stay in the law and you never go to grace, in other words, if you stay in this perception like the Pharisees did, you will not acknowledge, you will not discern, you will not know the truth when it comes to you. What's the proof of that? There was very few Pharisees that received Jesus, wasn't there? Most of them, like in John 8 and 44, Jesus let them know, you are of your father, the devil. And what did he say he was, Julie? A liar? Father of lies? He tells no truth. You can read the scripture verbatim. He said, when he speaketh a lie because he is the father of lies. He told them, that's your father. And they hated Jesus. They condemned Jesus to death, to the cross of Calvary and Golgotha. They condemned him. That's what the perception of law does to you and I, Daryl, when we're in it. Now, if you can change that and you can do this here today, right now, if you realize the purpose of God for the law is to find you guilty and to go, but wait, Keith, there's something beyond law. There's a thing called grace and truth. And because of Jesus Christ, I can receive this grace, Kevin, I can receive this truth, and I can be pardoned of my sin. Is that using the law lawfully? 100%. I just explained it to you. So what did he mean? The law is good. This is 1 Timothy 1 and 8. The law is good if a man use it lawfully. Daryl, you let the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, find you guilty. And instead of, because here's the difference. Here's the line drawn in the sand. You don't stay in the perception. You realize I'm guilty, but there's more. Because if you don't and you stay in the perception of law, you say, I'm guilty, Michelle, and I'm condemned. I'm condemned. Bryce, I can't get out of prison. I'm stuck here forever, for eternity. Grace says, no, you're not. I started this thing. I gave the law for a very distinct purpose. Yes, it's to show you your sin. Yes, it's so you'll be found guilty. But it's also to show you, by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God. Here's what we do, though. When we hear the Bible, when we hear the Word of God in a perception of law, we try to establish our own righteousness. Anybody do that when they heard the Word of God? I'll never forget. When I first came to God, it was probably first couple months of serving God. I was working over in Hanford for a underground excavation company. We did water, sewer, storm drain, what have you, and we had to drill a line underneath the road to run a line under there, and I'm running a 90-pound jackhammer, and I don't know what happened, it died, whatever. I put the hood up there, and I'm doing my absolute best, Tim, to serve God. There, Keith, there wasn't a time the church door was open that I wasn't there. Sometimes they didn't even have it open. I'd go there to pray, just hang out, felt good in the church of God. Made a statement to my wife one time, I don't even want to leave here. I'm going to go get my pillow, and I'm going to hang out. I just felt so much peace and comfort being in church. And so, Carrie, with everything I'm had, I'm trying to serve God, Jim. Trying to do what's right and, you know, no drugs, no alcohol. It's not like I did them before or anything, but no drugs, no alcohol, you know, everything right, I thought. Cut my hair, had long hair, cut my hair. Actually, the pastor cut it in the foyer. I've shared that with you guys before. Terrible haircut, horrible. No cussing, Jim. Stop cussing. Until. We're running this line underneath there. I'm running a 90-pound jackhammer. I go to fill it with gas. I put the hood up there, and I'm doing something, and I got it going again. I didn't put the hood down. So I went over to do something, and that doggone hood come down and hit me on the head full force, and I said, oh, I condemned myself so bad. I probably stayed condemned, Daryl, for weeks, if not months, over saying one S word, four-letter word. How's that? Is that better? I want to clarify myself because I didn't say the F word. Isn't that funny how we do that? Huh? This one's worse than that one. Some people, you know what the worst F word there is? Work. You know why they name golf, Sean? I bet you do. All the other four-letter words were already taken. That's an old saying out there, huh, Jim? All the other four-letter words were taken. But my point is, in this perception of the law, you will condemn yourself. But understand right now, because this is going to happen to you in the future. What I'm teaching you here today, you have a mindset. You have a perception. Today you get to hear, understand, and choose which one you're going to walk in. Isn't that awesome? You mean here today I can choose to live the rest of my life by grace 100%. Understand what I'm teaching here today. Understand what I'm saying. And you have the ability and the power, because God has given it to you, to use the law lawfully, to allow the Spirit of God to search your heart, to see the thoughts of sin there, and find you guilty, Julie. But don't forget, it doesn't stop there. If you stop there, you're going to be condemned. This ought to bring a great understanding to you of Romans 8 and 1. Paul said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So what do I mean? Now, I've said some simple things here today, but they're actually very profound. Like Daryl came to me before study. And when I taught on Thursday, I said something very profound and simple to a lot of people, but it meant a whole lot, didn't it, Daryl? About sin. I asked, what was Elijah's sin? And then above it, where it said was, I put in parentheses and put is. Why is? Isn't it past tense? It was his sin? He's been forgiven for it? No. It is his sin, Ralph, because God has caused him to overcome the sin, to be pardoned and forgiven, and now it's a part of his testimony. That's why it always stays with you. Make sense? So it's not past tense. What I've been forgiven for is my present testimony. Are you with me? And Daryl, it was sewn into him. He said, I didn't really think about it much till this morning. And then he brought it back to me. I said, that's awesome. I was looking for somebody to do that. That's a different perception, isn't it? Was my sin, is my sin, but not a sin that condemns me. Now it's a sin that's a witness to God of me. See, you're not overcome by the sin anymore. You've overcome the sin. In other words, you've accepted the grace, Jim. Isn't that great? I love it. Oh, we got some hands on that one. Let's go with Julie first and then Carrie.
Brian, I was reminded of John 14, and Jesus came and he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." So Jesus is the truth. You're troubled if you don't believe in the truth when it comes to you. You're still under the law in that.
Yes, ma'am.
So it's good how we're tying that together with that.
So the law was a schoolmaster to lead thee to Christ. The work of it, the leading was sins revealed. By the law is a knowledge of sin. Okay, I'm guilty. Have you ever read the Word of God or God ministered to you and has shown you where you did something wrong? Well, how did you handle that? You know what happens a lot of times? And this is because of the flesh. You're just not walking in the Spirit. See, if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh wants to condemn you. The flesh is going to die. The flesh is death. For to be carnally minded is death. And what did Paul say in Romans 8 there about the carnal mind? Huh? It's an enmity against God? Absolutely, it works against God. For to be carnally minded is death, but what does it say about the mindset of the carnal mind and the spiritual mind? But tell me the first part. They that are carnally minded do mind the things of the flesh. See, are you with me? Perception. They that are carnally minded do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are spiritually minded, the things of the Spirit. So as long as you're outside of Jesus' mindset, outside of, like Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. As long as you're outside of that, you're going to have your own interpretation. And you are going to condemn yourself. Here's the good news. That all of this, the law, Tim, the revealing of sin, everything God's shown you, is actually a work of the Spirit. And when you're in grace, all of this is grace. You realize that? The whole Word of God is grace. This defines, Walker, why the Scripture would say in Psalms 19 and 7 that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. When you perceive it right, your mind is converted, Jim. You look at it differently. You perceive the work of God from the commandment all the way through being found guilty to being pardoned and forgiven for your sins. Isn't that amazing? Would you hand that microphone to Sharon? So we're talking about law and grace here today, right? To Sharon, please. She had her hand up. Did you guys want to say something also? Okay, then Sharon, I'll hand it to you afterwards, Carrie.
When you were speaking, I realized that the do's and the don'ts, God said, do not do that. So I'm found guilty because I did that.
Okay.
So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, if I did that, then I can obviously undo it. But I cannot within myself undo what I did. So then I go into a condemnation, and that's where my perception was. If I did it, then can't I undo it?
What you're saying is the works of the law, which no man will be justified by. You see that? When you try to undo your sin, you can't undo sin. You know, man, there's so many things. But you can't change the sin. It's done. You can be forgiven for it. Yeah, that's why it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you could change it, then you'd be God. You wouldn't need God. But we need God. And we need mercy, and we need grace, and we need truth 100% every single day of our life. I got a lot of hands up. I was going to finish a thought. Well, Uncle, let Carrie.
I don't mean to interrupt Brian. I don't. If you have a thought, your thought's better than.
It's not true, Carrie. It's your
okay.
Turn.
It's been on my heart all morning, actually even before church, but being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work.
Yeah.
The works were finished from the foundation of the world. That's his work.
Right.
If we can take on his perception, that's already done. Can we walk in that perception of God?
Right.
And that, I had always thought about that, but doing, you know, being a doer of the work, I always thought that was me still.
Yes.
But it's not.
But that's
me.
A perception of flesh told
that's
you that.
That's right. But my perception has changed, Brian, and that is his.
So now,
work.
What's your perception? Let me hear the grace of it.
It's his work. It's done. I can just walk in it.
That's exactly right. You can walk in what his works are.
That's right.
You know, what is it, Daryl? Hebrews 4, that God hath prepared a rest for man. He that hath entered into his rest has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. So God created everything in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. If you can receive this, it's the seventh day that you enter into, that you partake of what Carrie's saying here, the rest of God, the works of God. In other words, God performs them. But on the our first initial interpretation is we have to do it. Now, I'm not saying don't try to do good things, please. But a lot of people use the Bible just to be a more morally sound person, to be a better person. But you know what I found out about that? The Word of God is going to find you guilty. Because if you give yourself over to the Word of God, if you give yourself wholly over to the Word of God, God's Word is not going to return into him void. So when it begins to manifest these things, it begins to show these things, if you kick against the pricks, if you fight against it, guess what you're going to do? You're going to manifest the thoughts that are in you of adultery, of murder, of stealing and killing, all these things. You're literally going to manifest them here, but if you understand them by the Spirit, and a person would say, oh my goodness, I would never manifest that here. I would never take another human being's life. I was in Chicago one time in a Bible study. And this man said, Jesus said that do violence to no man. He said, I believe that so much. He said, I believe it so much that if somebody come to my house, I have three little girls and my wife. If they come there to rape them, he said, I could not hurt them. He said, if they come there to kill them, I could not do any violence to them. I wrote my name down on a piece of paper and I handed it to him. I said, you give me a call. somebody touched one of these little girls, give me a call. You guys are like, well, what we got here, a murderous pastor? Hey, let me help you out with something. The book of John said, he that hateth his brother is a murderer. So you don't have to go out and pull the trigger, stab somebody. The hatred that works in our heart already makes you a murderer. So before you start condemning me, better think about some of these things that work in your own heart too, judging yourself. Now, I'm not saying, see, and actually it wouldn't be murder, would it? If it would be justifiable homicide, right, Rex? What do you mean I dragged him in the house? Nah, he was dragging his feet when he came in. Who had their hand up? Christy, did you ever get yours? Would you take that back to Christy? The Word of God's good. We can have a little bit of fun talking about the Word of God, right?
I was thinking about David. David let lust work in his heart, and he sinned. But when he did, he said that he sinned against God, and thee only have I sinned against God. And although that he sinned and still had to suffer the repercussions of his choice, the consequences of his choice, but God still worked an immense amount of grace on David.
Ooh, man, I've been thinking about something. I'm going to put it out there real quick, okay? Physical advice, good stuff. How many of you have ever enabled somebody to continue to live a destructive life? An enabler. You know what that is? You know how that works? If a person is doing destructive stuff and you do not let them face the consequences of that, you're always trying to save them, you're always trying to help them, and they continue to do it, you're the problem, not them. You are an enabler. But you know what I have noticed about enabling? And see, this is where a perception of law works in your mind. A person that doesn't realize they do it. In their mind, Diane, they're just saving. They're just helping. That's the only way I know how to help. You're making it worse. Oh, no, I'm trying to help. You're making it worse. It's like one person said one time, you know, this is the difference between tough love and enabling, right? You say you got to let them hit rock bottom. You ever heard that phrase? Rock bottom. Well, what is rock bottom? For some people, it's death. Are you willing to let them hit rock bottom? Are you willing to let them die? And you take that and then you go, no way, Taylor. We're not doing rock bottom. I'm going to have to step in and I'm going to change these things. Because you're working in a perception of law in your mind. You think you can. So, well, how do you deal with it then, Pastor? You hope for the best and prepare for the worst. You pray for them. You seek God. And you put your trust in God. That was just a little quick tidbit, little side note. Anybody else? I thought I saw more hands. So, Tristan?
I originally decided to talk to you afterwards. I have brought this up in the past, and you corrected me on it, but my perception has changed a little bit. But it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Right.
And I'm saying that the grace, that's the table of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
He's preparing that in the presence of your wrong perception.
Yeah, of your enemy.
Your sins. It's changing you in the presence of it.
We are actually, you know, we blame everything on the devil. We can at times be our worst enemy. You know that, right?
That's making the sin your testimony.
Yeah. Yep, God prepares a place for you, huh? And he does it through law and grace, Tristan. So how has this gone for you here today? Has this been a little different change in your mind about law and grace, and have people starting to perceive what we're talking about here? Well, I think it's a good place to stop because I got a lot more to say, but I'm going to stop right here. Any thoughts, any questions? Keith, come on, preacher man, let's hear what you got.
Pastor Rick gave me a word 3 years ago, and it's never left. He said, his grace is sufficient for thee.
Oh, man, that's good.
That's, I've walked in that.
Merle is going to like that one. That means a lot to her. That's Paul's writings when he said that he had received a thorn in his flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet him. And that's really good, Keith. Because when he understood, He prayed three times to the Lord to have this messenger of Satan taken from him. Daryl, he did not want to be buffeted anymore. He did not want the thorn in his flesh anymore. So he prayed three times. He gets his answer. My grace is sufficient for thee. He said, when I'm weak, he's strong. That's grace.
Even think them in Romans 6 and say, let God be think that you were the servant of sin.
Come on, Bryce. Jennifer talked a lot about thankfulness this morning in leading the service. And that's what, in a perception of grace, but God be thanked you were the servant of sin. You mean this whole time I've been in sin and all these things that have wreaked havoc in my life, the depression, the hatred, the anger, the strife, the contention, all of it I can be thankful for? Are you crazy? No, I'm walking in the mindset of grace, in the perception of God. You see the purpose of it, don't you, Bryce? God be thanked. You were the servant of sin. Daryl and I talked about this before study. Man, I lived by this for so many years. The Bible says that to whom much is forgiven, he loveth much. To whom much is forgiven, he loveth much. And here's the law, the fulfillment of it, understanding it. Why was the law given? See, we love him because he first loved us. He loved us so much, Keith, just like Adam, that he will manifest the hidden secrets of your heart, the darkness that's there. He will put light on it. He will manifest it. He will let you see the sin. He will let you see the darkness, but he refuses to leave you in it. We have to love the darkness more than light to stay in darkness. Daryl, do you hear me? We have to love the darkness more than light to stay in the darkness. And the scripture says that. Now, this is the condemnation that's coming to the world, that men love darkness more than light. I don't just say stuff haphazardly, guys. God said it first. Is that okay? Julie, and then we're going to be done.
See, the perception that Jesus is grace. He came and pardoned their sin for him. He loved them. The woman that was caught in adultery, go and sin no more. He came and pardoned their grace and became sin for them so they're forgiven.
Yeah, they said they caught.
He's the truth.
Isn't that awesome, Julie?
Yeah.
He said they brought her to and said she was caught in the very act of adultery. Jesus writes some stuff in the dirt, looks up and said, hey, where are thine accusers? Because they left. You know what he wrote in the dirt, don't you? Their sins.
But that's grace.
He showed it to him, revealed it to him.
That's awesome.
And then what did he say? Where are your accusers?
Right.
There's none here left, Lord. He said, neither do I accuse you. That's law and grace right there.
That's grace. He came and did that for the sins of the world.
Yes, he did.
Forgave them.
He said, you may be guilty, but I forgive you. You know what he said? He said, go and sin no more.
And that's
the truth. Now that you understand what you did, Alyssa? That's the purpose of it, Tim, to understand it. To understand your sin. We talked for a while about sin being a perception. Now we're saying law is a perception and grace is a perception. Now every bit of that's true because it's all the Word of God. I mean, the Bible talks much about sin, doesn't it? Doesn't it reveal sin? So God loves us so much, Julie, that he will not leave us with these things hid in us, but will manifest them. Find yourself guilty of these commandments and laws, and then by grace save you. I think one of the hot topics that we did here today was to understand the difference that grace is Jesus's interpretation. The law under the flesh will condemn you. Jesus is not there to condemn you. Jesus is not there to condemn you. He's there to save you. Anybody else before we go? Oh, there we go.
What you were just saying, what we've been talking about, it just came to me when you were talking about perception, and even with Adam, and how the helpmeet, and how when he was questioned, he said, "Well, the woman thou gavest me did give to me, and I ate." In the right perception of that, you're seeing the grace of God work in him. My father loved me enough to show me these things that were hid from me.
You're going to get me preaching another hour here, Jim. No, he's right. There's two perceptions in that right there. And in the perception of law, Adam was accusing God of giving him the woman, and accusing the woman of giving him the fruit to eat. But what about in grace? God, you gave me a woman that revealed sin to me. Thank you. That's good, Jim. I'm glad you remembered that. We can talk more about that later. I'm going to stop here. We good? Our heart settled? You guys enjoy a beautiful day. The weather's awesome. Like I always say, you be blessed because you are. Amen? Yeah. Thank you.